Show, philhenryshow.com, and mobile on the Phil Henry Show website. So if you want to listen live, you can. Just hit listen live. You don't have to be a subscriber. The show is live and ready to go for you there on your mobile as well as on TuneIn. And for you subscribers, how are you guys doing on Phil TV in HD? Just go to our website and get a subscription to our Backstage Pass. Life is beautiful. And thank you and welcome. I was not on the air last night because I literally, before the show started, about 30 minutes before, I just started to fall apart, man, you know.
Well, it was quite frightening because the word was you had...
Yeah, like your blood sugar.
Right, there was a blood sugar problem that I had, and that had to do with the fact that I hadn't been sleeping for the previous 6 days.
Now, let me ask you a question. Were you, when you say you weren't sleeping... Were you literally 6 days without sleep? Because before you answer, the Twilight Zone episode I'm reminded of...
Oh, I don't want to talk about Twilight Zone.
Well, I do, because the Twilight Zone episode is everything to me.
Wait. What Twilight Zone episode?
You talking about the Twilight Zone episode where the guy fell asleep and a lady killed him on a roller coaster?
What?
Oh, I know that. What's that got to do with your life?
What does it have to do with my life? That was my dream. That was my nightmare. A snail crawling along the edge of a straight razor. Well,
and that's from Apocalypse Now, so now you really lost me.
Well, Phil, what did you or did you not?
Wait a minute. What are you talking about, a snail on a straight razor?
Look, Dickman, it would take me years to explain my life to you. It would already take me a long time to explain. Just what happened? Tell us.
What happened? Okay.
The Twilight Zone episode has significance to me, but I'm not willing to share it with you right now.
Well, I would be very interested to hear what that is.
Yeah, I would, too. I would, too. You bring it up. You bring up a snail crawling along the edge of a straight razor. You know.
Well, you're the only monkey here that...
You're calling him a monkey for? You see, before we go live on the internet platform, I want to know what the rules of the road here. Are we allowed to look at each other and go, ha-ha, there's a monkey?
Yeah, I'd like to know what are the rules of the road on that.
Are we talking about me not sleeping, the rules of the road on calling each other monkey, the Twilight Zone episode, Apocalypse Now, or what are we talking about?
Can we talk about you sleeping?
Okay, let's start with that, and then we'll get to the Twilight Zone and whether or not we can call each other monkey, which, by the way, you can call each other anything you want to call each other. I just don't think it's very polite. What do you mean by monkey?
I'm telling you that no monkey tells me... Just go ahead, Phil.
All right, so, I had a hard time sleeping, man. So I went to the doctor, and he gave me some vitamins, and he gave me all kinds of... advice and some diet stuff. And then he gave me here's the big one. I love this. He said, take some time off.
What's wrong with that?
Take some time off. When am I going to do that? Where am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? There's no time off around here. There's no time off. There's no vacations here. No vacations here. Not when you're running a business and you're trying to keep things floating and you got three or four other, you know, different jobs.
Well, here we go. Phil, to hear you tell it, one would think that you are working. You're working like some poor cotton picker down in the...
Yeah, you sound like a pea picker.
Yes, exactly, a pea picker.
What is a pea picker?
We're talking about slave labor?
Well, you listen to Phil, he sounds like some poor enslaved man picking his cotton, playing his harmonica.
Yeah, Phil, it's not that bad, is it?
It's not, no, I'm not a slave. But there's just no time off. There's no time off. There's no time to take time off. And some people will say, well, you know, you better take time off because... No. If I take so much as 3 or 4 days off, this whole thing will fall through the floor. That's a guarantee from me to you. I swear to God. The whole business, the whole radio show, the whole web business, everything will go right through the floor because it may be the way that I run things, which is that nobody... I don't think I run this ship like Captain Bligh. I think I'm pretty, you know, open to suggestions, and I let people have their, you know, do their thing. But I got to remind people to do stuff sometimes. You know, I have to go, hey, do you remember that we had to do this? You remember when we had to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Margaret, you're staring at me with your chin on your hand like you're Dr. Joyce Brothers. Go ahead and spit it out.
No, I'm just listening to see how far out into the Bay of Horse...
Horse manure.
Yeah, out into horse manure bay, you want to go wading. And did you bring your water wings? Because I'm telling you.
Yeah, you're wading into horse manure bay. Is it horse manure bay?
Oh, my God, you just went beep, 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 beep.
Phil, you know, you need to take the night off because it sounds to me like your electrolytes aren't balanced and there's no muscle control because, as Margaret just said, you went wee, 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 wee.
Yeah, it's almost like you got an electrolyte or something.
You don't even know what an electrolyte is.
What are you talking about? Sounds like I've got a chemical imbalance.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, because you all went boo, 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 boo. Like, if you don't have control over your mouth or whatever.
Yeah, you've got to have control of the over the musculature of the mouth. Otherwise, well.
Yeah, otherwise. Otherwise what? Nothing.
He was going to make an oral sex.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You know, I've decided I'm not going to be belting anybody anymore. I'm not going to, no more physical violence here. I'm just going to have you go out and, say, get something from the refrigerator for me. Let's say one of those Frappuccinos or a Coke or something, and then just lock the door and keep you out there.
I don't care. Just being a night off for me.
All right. So I went to the doc, and the doc done did say, you got to take some time. I said, I ain't taking any time off, man. There's no time off. You know, just like, I like Sal in Do the Right Thing when he says, what free? There's no free here. There, that's free for you. There's a pizza. There's a delivery. Go. You know, it's the same thing. There's no time off around here. You're going to work until you drop, until you die. And that's America. That's not just me. That's America. I had a friend of mine visiting from Hungary. This was a friend of mine in Hungary. He came to the United States to visit and work for about, I'd say a year. And one of the things that he said to me was, Jesus, do you people ever relax around here? I said, no, we don't. We got heart attacks going on. We got cancer going on. We're all going to die, man. I said, welcome to America. He says, you guys, I mean, over in Hungary, he says, you know, we kick back, we have a donut, we sit around, we talk. I said, well, there's a lot of businesses over here that do that. I said, but most...
What businesses over here kick back with a donut and relax?
This one.
This one? Yeah, you guys, not me. But there's a lot of them that, I guess there's a few, but the point is, the States, yeah, we tend to, I'm not saying we work harder, don't get me wrong, I'm saying we are just more manically obsessed and driven and sweating and crazed and just, you know, we can't stand the thought of spending an idle moment, you know. And that was noticed at least by one person from another country. So when the doc said to me, you got to take some time off, Henry, I said, well, you know, good for you. That's great, doc. Why don't you go ahead and write a poem called Phil Needs to Take Time Off, or you can write a book, or you can do a lecture series, or, you know, there's a number of things. But actually me doing that? No.
Well, why can't you take a few days off and go off to some of these places you like?
Yeah, well, bye. You go out in the desert and everything like that.
The desert? Man, I ain't seen the desert in a long time.
What is that? What do you mean, the desert? What's he talking about?
There's a place I like to go out to the desert. I like to go to the desert. I like to hang. Of course, we live at the beach here. I mean,
Well, this isn't relaxing. You've got all these clowns, you know.
What clowns?
You know, the neighborhood clownism. And I'm not making a joke.
You gotta make a joint.
Well, why don't you break out some of that sleep weed you've got, Phil?
Yeah, there's a relaxation. There's your vacation right there. You smoke enough of that funny herb, and you'll be taking a mind vacation in places. Geez.
General, don't sound so old, okay?
What's that mean?
You sound like my dad. Smoke some of that stuff, and you'll be on vacation, all right? All right. Anyway, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Very, very good of you guys to join us. As I mentioned, we are live and mobile on either TuneIn or our website, and with a subscription to our website, you have our video cast, thousands and thousands of hours of archived Phil Henry Radio, many different generations of the Phil Henry Show, all kinds of amazing, we like to think, amazing radio. A couple of things that may or may not be of interest to you in the news. One of them that we're going to come back on is this Yahoo story about Yahoo opening their big fat bazoo about the British spying on them. Boy, don't you love Yahoo, man?
What'd they do?
Yahoo? Those guys were giving over people's IP addresses to the Chinese. Who are they talking about? Yahoo is, this is absolutely unacceptable.
Well, Yahoo, Phil, this is the internet. This is the large web of the web you know.
Yes, this is what everyone's afraid of. The web, the wide world of the web.
Yes, everyone's afraid of that. Well, a lot of people are afraid of it, but a lot of people use it. So which is it? Are you afraid of it, or are you using it because it's... What exactly is going on with the world? What exactly are we afraid of? How about nothing? I think that we're just... I think we just like listening to ourselves talk. Speaking of that, I'll be back to listen to myself talk some more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, live and mobile on our website, and tune in. Everything sound kind of low level here?
What do you mean?
I can't even hear that, man. Okay, there you go. I got to turn the headphones up. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, live and mobile on both TuneIn and our website.
Well, I think what Nikki was saying, and for those of you that are just joining us, we were discussing, Phil, what am I hearing?
I'm hearing a countdown here. Did you hear that, man? I could hear her counting down on TuneIn.
Is that TuneIn or the website?
Doesn't it sound kind of low level here?
What do you mean?
You better turn that stuff down or you're going to drive people ape.
You're right. You're right. I had our actual live line turned up, and so it was confusing me.
Yeah, probably got to get Mr. Hall call. I ain't going to probably freak him out.
Could you say that again, bud?
Boy, no kidding.
Man, you got to learn how to speak English, man, and don't make no crack about me. Now, I speak better English than you. What I do? Nobody understands it. Mr. Hall, blah, 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 blah.
Seriously, bud, nobody understood a word of that.
You're going to have to, Mr. Hall.
What the hell did you just say?
I said Mr. Hall's going to call in because he's all freaked out about, he'll freak out. There's no question, especially if he's out with a woman, Daphne, and to make a donut run.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
Anyway, may I continue?
Go ahead.
I think during the break, a lot of you, unless you were listening on the Listen Live line, and that way you can hear what's happening between the, in the commercial break. Shouldn't they be listening to the commercials?
They're hearing the commercials on radio, but on our Listen Live, no.
Well, isn't that a fine how do you do?
Well, I tell you what, if they want to, if anybody wants to buy some, if anybody wants to sponsor the breaks on our live line on the website...
In any event, I heard her saying to you, you're going to have to take time off, Phil, or you're going to die. You're going to drop face down in a parking garage somewhere, and they won't find you for hours.
No, she did not say that.
Yes, she most certainly did.
No, she didn't. She said that you got to take time off, or you're going to be sick. But she didn't say they'd find me face down.
Well, she said no, but she did say you would something similar to that, that if you'd be in a hot tub one night, and you'd have a massive stroke and drown.
Yeah.
She didn't say anything of the sort. She said, I got it. Didn't you say that, Nikki? You said, take time off, right?
Yes.
You'd say, I'm going to have a massive stroke and drown in a hot tub.
Well, that's what I heard. And you didn't say anything like that, Nikki?
No.
You calling me a liar?
I implied it. How about that?
You did. You implied. No, but are you calling me a liar? Because I want to.
Of course not,
Margaret. I want to set up who the number one female is here.
All right, take it easy, will you?
Well, here he goes again with take it easy. If you say take it easy, why don't you take it easy? Take a vacation.
There you go. That boy, she hit the nail, got you. Woohoo! Oh, hit the nail right on the head. You take it easy, Hendry, or you're going to have a massive coronary and die at the wheel of a private plane. And,
oh, sure.
Yeah. A lot of things like that have happened, Mr. Hendry.
A lot of things like that have happened. Have they happened to guys that don't fly airplanes?
Yeah, especially if you have a throm coronary.
What's a throm coronary?
Isn't that thrombosis?
You do.
No guy that doesn't fly an airplane is going to have a heart attack at the wheel of an airplane. I don't even think they call it a wheel.
Well, at the yoke. You'll die at the yoke of an aircraft, and if you don't know how to fly, there'll be countless people dead in the air and on the ground. Well, you laugh if you want, my friend.
Of course I'm laughing. Die at the yoke of a private plane.
Do you remember you were just talking about the private plane that ran into that commercial jetliner, and it plummeted to the earth in a ball of fire? God.
Yeah, that kind of thing's got to happen.
You guys only wish something like that would happen so you can be proved right.
Namaste, that's cold.
That is a cold shot. We don't want you to die that way.
We know you're going to die, but... I don't want it to be like that.
It ain't going to be like that because I don't know how to fly an airplane, so I will never be at the yoke of a private craft as it crashes into a commercial jetliner, becomes a ball of fire, hits the earth.
Look at him laughing. Countless dead in the air and on the ground.
Yeah, by other people, not me. I think there was one story of a guy had a heart attack. I'm not going to have a heart attack at the air, you know.
But I talk about that one guy you knew.
I knew one guy that had a heart attack at the wheel of his car, yeah. And died.
You get what happened?
He had a heart attack at the...
Well, don't you hear too good? He said he had a heart attack at the wheel of the car.
Yeah, no, but did it crash and explode and everything?
No, it didn't crash and explode. I'll tell you what happened. It was actually rather... Talk about going out with a whimper rather than a bang. He had a heart attack in a parking lot, and the car just rolled ahead and hit a wall. That was it.
Did it explode?
No, it didn't explode, Margaret.
I'm sorry, but you brought it up.
You are the guys that are bringing up the whole exploding aircraft and everything else.
Let me tell you, Phil, if I could, and then I know you. Is that David?
Yeah, David's on the phone.
What does he want?
I told you. He's wondering about, you're talking about thrombosis and everything.
Talking about thrombosis and everything. Hey, David, how you doing?
Well, I'm fine, but you guys are talking heart attack, and you need to get a vacation in, and I know what your doctor said, but I have to agree with you, Phil, and I got to go against what everybody else is saying. We've got an awful lot that's going to be coming up here in the next year, and you can say all you want about the fact that I've got a girlfriend that I am out with just about every other night making a donut run. But let me tell you something, Phil. She's still alive. You can be as healthy an eater as you want. You can eat those veggie burgers till the cows come home, till they're coming out of your ears, until your head turns into a gigantic garden burger. But, my friend, you won't be much good to anybody. Looking good, looking strong, good calves, good thigh muscles, beautiful face, dead. See what I'm saying? Now, I got a Daphne's over here. She asked me if I wouldn't mind.
What happened?
He hung up.
What was the point of that phone call?
He's trying to tell you not to die, even though he doesn't agree with us.
That's what I got out of it.
Okay, so...
Boy, that's a lot of dead air there, Mr. Emmett.
Yeah, that's a lot of dead air, all right. So coming up, we have Chris Norton to talk a little bit about the phenomena of sleeplessness and what it may have to do with Haitian culture and the whole, as we continue this discussion, the whole zombie thing. Was that it?
Well, yeah. When you talk about not having no sleep, that's how to get a zombie.
Well, you guys with this zombie thing are really starting to piss me off. You know that?
Don't look at me. It's the culture at large likes it.
I don't think so. I hope and pray that this is the year we get off that zombie kick. I hope and pray, man.
Well, maybe, I don't know. I don't hear a lot about it.
Well, you know, and this whole thing the other day about the radiation coming in from Fukushima, what's that going to do? You know?
No, Phil, people didn't say that Fukushima would cause zombies. They were talking about the reanimation of a corpse and trying to claw its way halfway up through the earth.
God, that is gruesome. It's just freaking gruesome. All right, so Jeff Dowder is going to come up here in a couple of minutes to talk about that, I guess. I thought we were going to have a segment on sleeplessness or insomnia.
Well, it sort of morphs into the other topic.
Yeah. Miami Heat guard LeBron James has debuted a black protective mask that he has to put on and wear because of... As Margaret would say, because of the injuries to his face in a previous game against Oklahoma City, he got his nose busted. Maybe part of his face got busted. So he's wearing this black face mask. If you guys can see that on Phil TV, it just looks like a rather it's daunting, it's imposing look. It looks like the, you know, a badass looking mask, but really it's just designed to protect the nose, protect the bones of the face. And you see a lot of players in soccer. You see a lot of the guys that play European-style soccer, football, they wear those, and they wear them to protect their noses. Used to wear those plexiglass ones, you know.
I think Kareem had one on, too.
Well, I remember James Worthy back when I first saw them, they were a kind of a clear plastic or a clear, some kind of reinforced material that they'd wear over their face. So there's LeBron James wearing this. It's got everybody on Twitter talking, wow, it looks really creepy. Ooh.
Well, people are going to comment, Phil, because their minds are empty. And,
well, you know, it's fine. LeBron is one of those lightning rod personalities. I wish I followed basketball like I used to, but I just don't, you know. I mean, the only sport that I follow now is football and me making money.
30 seconds.
Yay. Thank you. It's my favorite sport. My favorite sport now, you know, I follow the I follow football, and I follow me making money. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and online at TuneIn. We're mobile at TuneIn, and we're mobile on the Phil Hendry Show website as well. We'll be right back.
Five,
we got Jeff Dowder and more on zombies, I guess. Famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com live and mobile on TuneIn and philhendryshow.com.
So I want to know, before you get Dowder on here, I want to know about this film, Two Women, because I saw that. It's a breathtaking film, Phil. It's powerful. Sophia Loren has never been more beautiful. She's never been more powerful.
She's doing it again.
Margaret, I just would ask you, can you please.
Don't tell me how to talk. If I feel like giving it a more dramatic read.
Yeah, yours going more beautiful.
I don't sound anywhere near as gloidish, if I may use that word.
Which I would hope you wouldn't.
Yeah, well, guess what? On the 15th, all bets are off. No more FCC, and I can begin to say it like I want to say it. And this one here, with the gloid-like...
The gloid-like?
All right, so if you want to say that and you want to be offensive...
Me offensive... The things that I put up with around here, the way I'm looked at by you men.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Go ahead and laugh. But you were talking about watching Two Women.
Yeah, that's a great movie. I don't want to get too heavy, but God, I mean, look, it's old school. It's black and white. It's 1960. Okay. That having been said, if you want to see the greatest acting that I've ever seen in my life, and in my life... The greatest single performance that I've ever seen anybody anywhere give. You should see that movie, Sophia Loren.
Man, she's hot. Or she was, anyway.
Yeah, she used to be hot, I guess. Is she still hot?
I don't know. I don't know if she's still alive. I'm sorry to say, but what do you mean, is she still hot? Forget about how hot she is.
Well, you can't forget about how hot she is. You must be out of your mind.
Well, let me tell you something. In the movie, she's hot, all right. She's also walking in the sun on dirt roads with baggage on her head and a daughter of 13 that her character is taking with her as they're trying to find their way out of the bomb-racked, well, not bombed so much as the war zone that Rome had become in World War II, and they're getting out of this city. And I think it was still, Rome was an open city, but they were bombing leading up to that. And she gets out of the city with her daughter, and they're trying to make their way to their relatives who live north of the city in relative safety in the mountains. And the things they have to deal with and the stuff they've got to put up with and the heartbreaking things that happen along the way and the deaths of people. And I'm not going to talk about what happens because it's pretty brutal. It's pretty brutal, but... I couldn't take my eyes off this flick today.
Were you watching this on television?
Yeah, it was on TV. And I'm like, God, man, how often do I don't really go on and on about old flicks unless they're like war movies or horror movies, something like that.
This one's a war movie.
Well, yeah, I guess, but it's not a war. It's not a movie. It's about two women. I mean, that's the name of the movie, and that's what it's about.
Well, it's a woman and a girl. That's what I felt it should have been called. I talked to Frank about that because he knew Vittorio De Sica.
Yeah.
And I'd said to Frank, did you talk to Vittorio? Because we knew him and we were on first name. What are you looking at?
I'm not doing nothing.
Well, don't look at me like I'm full of it.
I don't think he was looking at you like you were full of it.
I'm just always doing. I'd scrunch my face up like, are you sure?
Am I sure about what?
That you knew him.
No, I'm not sure. Yes, of course I'm sure.
Hey, but don't start questioning. You got to give people the benefit of the doubt. If somebody claims something, then just pretend like you believe it.
Well, what if they say I've been to the moon and I saw a moon man?
By all means, pretend like you believe that guy because you don't know what he's going to do next. I sure as hell wouldn't get into an argument with somebody like that, would you?
Well, you make a very good point.
That is a good point, yeah. But I said, why don't you call it a woman and a girl? And he gave me the same the bulkhead stare and the curled lip routine that Bud just gave me.
Who did?
Vittorio De Sica. Who do you think I'm talking about?
So wait a minute. You talked to Vittorio De Sica, the great Italian director.
Yes, Phil. I've talked to great directors, yes.
All right. No, I believe you. But you said to him, why didn't you call it a woman and a little girl?
I said, why didn't you call it a woman and a girl? And he gave me the same what? The same 13-year-old bug-eyed stare. So it's amazing that a great director like Vittorio De Sica can turn into like a 13-year-old boy and go, huh, and get all pouty.
Get out of here.
I swear.
Well, I think that sounds dumb as can be.
You know, Bud, you're usually the guy that thinks that, never mind. So I'm thank God that he called it two women and not a woman and a girl. Two women. I mean, why would you say a woman? In that movie, that little girl, that 13-year-old girl, becomes a woman. She becomes a woman in the most tragic possible way. She is forced into adulthood by the horror around her and what happens to her and her mother. And it's the attempt by the mother, played by Sophia Loren, to bring that woman back to childhood, to try to reclaim a little bit of her childhood for her. That's the pivotal moment in the movie.
Man, that sounds like...
That sounds like one of them French movies. You sure it wasn't a French one?
Yeah, that's a good point, Bud. Why is it... What do you say it is? What?
What?
What did you say, General?
Who made the movie?
It was an Italian movie.
Well, Bud said it sounds French.
Well, it ain't French. It's Italian.
Sounds French.
Well, what do you mean it sounds French?
All them French movies like that.
See, you guys think...
Slow down, Phil. Slow down. You're going to have to go back to the doctor, and he's going to have to give you another shot in your rear end or whatever he did.
He didn't give me a shot in the rear end. Are you not saying that because a movie is kind of heavy and all that stuff, it's got to be French? Are you sure you're not thinking just European?
Well, that's a good point. Maybe just European.
Well, what other Europe movies they make?
What other Europe movies do they make?
Have you heard of Ingmar Bergman? Ingmar Bergman. Have you heard of him?
What?
But if you say what...
Hey, watch it now.
Put my hand around his throat.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Hey, Bud, Ingmar Bergman. You ever heard of that guy?
No.
Okay, he doesn't come from France.
Where's he from?
Denmark. Not Denmark.
He's Swedish, for God's sake. Swedish. Sweden. There's Ingmar Bergman, who's Swedish. There was Jean-Paul... Jean Cocteau. Don't say it, Bud.
Well, he's the guy with the name.
Look, Bud, because a guy's got the name Cocteau doesn't mean you got it. Look at him. See?
Bud, why don't you grow up?
Who else?
There is Wolfgang Petersen and Wolfgang Petersen, German. There is, Federico Fellini, the great Fellini from Italy.
Italy's got a lot of them.
Yes, Italy has a lot of them.
Italy's got great filmmakers. France, England, you know.
Well, what do you mean, England?
England.
Who?
Sir David Lean. Sir Carol Reed.
What do you mean, Sir Carol? Is that a guy?
Yes, that's a guy. So,
what about America?
Yeah, what about Sir Steven Spielberg?
Sir Steven Spielberg.
Oh, I mean,
there's all kinds of great filmmakers all over the place.
What about Russia?
I don't know. Russia's got a lot of them. Russia's got some good ones. All right, so Jeff Downer is in the offing to talk with us about my sleep problems and the history of the Haitian voodoo tradition of turning zombies. What has all of this got to do with anything?
He says that there is some connection between sleeplessness or the inability to get sleep and to be turned toward the will of a shaman.
Yes.
Oh, I see. So is that something I'm at risk of?
We'll find out. I don't know.
It could be something you're at risk about.
Yeah, sure.
You don't believe it?
No, I don't believe it. No, I don't.
Well, Phil, didn't you say you met a man who'd, quote, messed around with voodoo?
I met a man who messed... Yeah, I met a guy in Miami. Okay, yeah. I met a cab driver in Miami.
This guy did what?
This guy was a cab driver in Miami. He was getting a ride back from the airport. And you would have to cut through, excuse me, Little Haiti to get to the radio station that I was working at from the airport. And he asked me about, have I ever done voodoo? I said, no, man, I haven't. He said, wow, man, you can get really addicted to that stuff. I guess he'd been to the Witch Queen down there and...
Did he get a spell cast on somebody?
I don't know, man. But generally, people go to the old lady, the old Witch Queen, because they want some kind of sexual power over somebody or romantic power over somebody, something like that. And I think that's what it was. I think this cat, he thinks, in his own head, you know, he was getting empowered by her.
And you're in a cab with this guy.
Yep, he was the cab driver, yeah. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry. What do you want from me, man? You know, I just, I report it, you decide. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, online as well, and mobile. Listen live and mobile on TuneIn or our website. Grab a backstage pass and hit up our souvenir shop for the Je T'aime Lingerie Rudy, beautiful Rudy, T-shirt for ladies.
They didn't want to. It was all they had
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, live and mobile on TuneIn and philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, too, and watch live-streaming video of the show every night. Have access to our thousands of hours of archived radio shows and much, much more excitement that you've never even dreamed possible at the Phil Henry Show website, the worldwide headquarters. Now, we have on our newsmaker line, Jeff Dowder, joining us. Jeff is going to talk with us briefly here. I think it's interesting, but I don't know that it's factual or fact-based. But we'll find out here. Jeff's going to talk with us about the concept of zombies. I mean, I don't know, you know.
Well, it's about it's not zombies. That's not the topic. The zombie is not the topic. If we get Jeff, am I reading that right, Jeff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all I say about is something that I had seen on TV, and that's why I said to Mr. Henry to talk with him about it.
Okay, so what did you see on TV?
Well, White Zombie is a movie starring Bela Lugosi, one of the great classic horror movie actors, since you were talking about old horror movies a moment ago. And for me...
I wasn't talking about old horror movies.
I wasn't talking about old horror movies.
Well, you were. You were talking about...
No, I was not. I was talking about a movie with Sophia Loren, a war movie.
Well, my understanding, you said it was black and white, and you said it was ghoul-like, or...
I didn't say anything about ghouls. To the extent that war is filled with ghouls, sure, but it was a war movie. It's really a drama about... two women surviving war.
All right. Well, let's just start. Let's take another run at this then, and then forget and pretend like I never did it.
You mean forget and pretend what?
I mean, let's just pretend that we forgot. Let's just
do it again, man. Okay.
Sorry. God, man.
Yeah, get all tense, Mr. Henry.
I heard people saying that you have a Trump. If you get a bum. I have a heart attack.
I'm not going to have a heart attack. I'm not going to have thrombosis. I'm not going to have any of that, man, okay? I just want to get the topic moved along here so that we don't have to continually talk about black and white movies all being horror movies. They're not horror movies. So you're talking about the movie White Zombie. If this is the basis for your belief that not getting enough sleep turns you into a zombie, we got some real trouble here.
Well, why do you say that?
That's not scientific. That's not even remotely... a solid source for something like that.
Well, what, no, but I put it together with something that a friend of mine had been studying. No, hold on, Mr. Henry. I'm not saying, oh, wow, I went and saw a zombie movie, and that's the whole reason for why I think that.
Yeah, he's not saying that. I mean, that'd be stupid.
Well, it won't be the first time.
Well, just let them go ahead. I'm interested, Jeff. Go on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir. By the way, was that you, Mr. Henry, or was that General Shaw?
It's me, General Shaw. You don't know the difference between us?
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry, sir. Mr. Shaw, or not Mr. Shaw, but General Shaw.
It's General Shaw, yes.
All right.
Just go ahead and tell us about this zombie before I go baboon.
Sorry, sir.
I could say the same thing you said to me the other night.
What are you talking about?
Can I go, Mr. Henry?
Just let him finish, will you, please?
Well, about the baboon showing... I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, the baboon is... I'm not the baboon. Now I'm confused.
Not the baboon. You're right. It's...
Talk about a zombie.
Yeah, zombies are created in Haiti traditionally by just keeping a guy awake for so long that he begins to miss out on REM sleep. And the next thing you know, you have an individual that has very little conscious control over his emotions, his motor drive, his motor sensory drive, and things like that. Now, how do you keep a guy awake for long periods of time without him knowing about it? One of the ways to do it, and this is going to sound sort of silly, but it is a fact, they love their card games in Haiti, and a simple act of an all-night card game, maybe 2-3 nights of a card game, where a guy gets eventually the lack of the REM sleep, gets someone, you know, conked out, which is actually a term, you know, that is used in Haiti in voodoo circles. So when you get an individual that just conks out.
No, wait, you're talking about the term conk out?
Well, yeah, conks out, yeah.
What? I thought that meant just conk, well, not the hair.
It has nothing to do with, oh, wait.
It has nothing to do with the hair.
Sounds like you need more sleep because you was on the.
Yeah, you went on the phone, Phil, instead of Jeff.
Yeah, I was right here for a minute.
All right, I'm sorry. I mean.
All right, I'm sorry. Okay, so I figured it out. You're not talking about conking the hair.
No, I'm not talking about conking hair. In this sense, I'm talking about conking your brain. So it's the same thing you do to your hair, only you're doing it to your brain. So you're cooking it, smoking it. You got smoked brain, man. And the next thing you know, you're cooked and smoked. And
served with a light seasoning.
Yeah, it's real funny, man.
Well, you knock it off, bud.
So you stay awake, and the mind becomes malleable. I don't know if you're familiar with that word, Mr. Henry, about a malleability.
Yes, I am. The mind becomes easily molded.
Yeah, the mind becomes easily molded. And the next thing that happens then is the shaman has total control over an individual who, if he just got himself, you know, just bagged a few more Z's, you know. So I'm not worried about you turning into... Hold on for a minute. Oh, man. Open a window, too. I'm not worried about you.
What are you guys blasting up in there, or...
Mr. Henry, I don't know that I need to answer that, because, you know, it's legally protected here in the state of California. If
that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. So what I'm saying is that is the essence of that. Now, you know, you can go any which way you want to go with that. You can talk. You can talk about zombies doing the will of you know, a zombie priest or a shaman. But all I'm trying to tell you is that it is a real thing, and they can do it, and they have created the Zom. I'm sorry, Mr. Henry.
So I ask you if you're blasted up, and you guys are telling me, no, you're not, but boy, right there I just heard one, so don't start giving me this song and a dance about how it's not happening, okay?
Well, I'm saying it's legally protected in the United States of, I mean, in the United States of, not the United States of California, but in California.
Talk about the stereotype of everybody out here being a stoner. You guys are really reinforcing that.
What am I doing, man, that's so wrong, other than just trying to tell you what's up with your sleeplessness and what the possibilities are?
Well, I doubt seriously whether I'm in danger of...
Well, I don't think he's saying that. He's simply saying that that's what happens to some people that do not get enough sleep.
That they are turned into zombies.
Well, you know, turned toward the will of a shaman of some kind. I mean, you know, you think about it, and you don't get enough sleep, and you're not bagging enough Z's. I'm going to open a window in here, man.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Oh, wow.
Well, who booked that?
Yeah, who booked that?
You were talking about sleeplessness.
There's nothing wrong with that. I don't mind talking about sleeplessness, and I don't even mind talking about sleeplessness as it relates to the phenomenon of zombies. But when a guy starts, you know, hitting on a pipe while he's on the air, You know, it kind of, there's a little bit of credibility that kind of goes out the window there, bud. All right. Thank you so very, very much for that. Six current former San Francisco officers.
Current former.
Current and former San Francisco police officers have been indicted. A federal grand jury has indicted six current and former San Francisco cops, charging three with stealing money, drugs, electronics, and gift cards seized during investigations.
Well, that's business as usual. Every so often they have a story like that.
Every single cop problem that they have, scandal, has to do with that.
Pretty much.
What do you mean?
It has to do with cops stealing stuff that they confiscated during some operation. It's every 20 years. They used to say that every 20 years the New York City police had some scandal, which I don't know if that's true. I mean, the last one they had was, I don't know the last one they had, but now San Francisco's got one. But it always has something to do with, not always, but most of the time it's something to do with these guys holding on to stuff that they confiscated during a bust.
Yeah, except for the L.A. one.
Except for the L.A. Rampart scandal, which was a whole other world of weird and wicked and bad. But these guys, these cops in San Francisco apparently were just holding on to electronic equipment, drugs, money, whatever the hell else you want to hold on to, man. All right, we'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, to talk about some of this other really fascinating stuff, including the more news out of Arizona. Jan Brewer vetoed that bill that would have meant no equal rights for gay people in businesses. And, oh, yeah, it would have stripped the businesses of all their money because nobody wants to go to their store and shop for stuff. Bye.
What in the name of God?
World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. What's the matter?
What is this? Is this that Christian group?
A lot of these Christian bands are doing this demon voice thing.
Yeah, it's the voice of the devil.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if these guys are Christian or not, but it is a part and parcel of our radio show, the great band Chelsea Grin. Now then.
She sure did.
That's what she said.
What does that mean? Would you guys grow the hell up?
I agree with Margaret there. Welcome back to the program. World-famous Phil Henry Show. What does that mean?
What does what mean?
Chelsea Grin, that's what she said?
Yeah, that's what she said.
All right, if I hear that's what she said one more time...
What are you going to do, huh? I'm a general, retired United States Army. Maybe you could push that thing around over there, the one with the hole in his head, but me, have a care.
General, I'm not threatening. I just would like us to move past that's what she said. Okay. I was going to say General David Castorini.
He wishes.
Reverend David Castorini is going to join us this hour to talk about the Arizona law that is no more. It was vetoed by, but it's a very interesting law. It was a law written by Republicans and then opposed by Republicans and then vetoed by a Republican governor. So that's a new one on me, man. You know.
Well, they got to thinking about it and everything.
That's probably what happened. They got to think about it.
They sure did get to thinking about it. You better believe that one. So, and you know what? I admire anybody. I'm telling you, I admire anybody that takes another look at the facts and changes their mind if they need to. I think that is the mark of an honest, bold, and courageous individual. That really is. Someone who, as the man once said, whoever that man is, I forget, maybe it was John Locke, who said, do I change my opinion? Yes, as the facts change, my opinion changes. So,
what did he say?
Never mind. As the facts change, my opinion changes.
Well, what was his name?
John Locke.
Who's he?
Would you guys never mind who he is and why?
He was a great man, as I remember, Phil, wasn't he? He was a politician?
He was a philosopher. Okay. We're going to bring on Reverend David Castorini here, and Reverend Castorini from the Castorini Youth Ministry in Tucson, Arizona, and you're right there in the thick of it, Reverend. The law that was vetoed, the bill that was vetoed by the governor of Arizona. What was your stand on this?
Well, Phil, first of all, I'm delighted to be invited on your program. I appreciate it very much.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you very much, and... to all the young people that we minister to here in Arizona and in Southern California, I want to say hello. And we're going to be in your neck of the woods, not too far from now, Phil, in early February. We're going to be out.
Well, this is late February.
This is late February. All right.
Well, maybe you're going to early March?
No, it says early February. The next thing I've got on my agenda here is it says early February. I'll get Sharon Tacones to come in here. And Sharon, you want to look at this for me? Check out the... That is what it says. Next up, early February.
2015?
No, it says 2014. We're both wondering what that is. Maybe we don't remember. We might have been in California, Phil, and it just slipped our mind.
Well, how is that possible to be in California and have it slip your mind?
I don't remember going to California this month. So when's the next time we're going to be in California? She's going to go back and look at the schedule, but...
You don't know if you were in California or not?
It says here on the schedule that we were. As a matter of fact, the dates are crossed out, and it says I took a bus. I'd have to look at my journal. Maybe we did.
Do you not remember where you...
I don't know. I get so busy. You know, Phil, I heard Phil talking about being so busy that you don't have time for vacation. Phil, I can relate to that. I do not have time for vacations.
Doesn't sound like you have time to even remember things.
That could very well be true. We're going to check out. I'm sure it's going to be fine.
Well, but it's possible you were here in California and already saw the young people that you just said hello to.
You're going to have to run that by me again.
But what he's saying is maybe you already saw these young people that you said hello to and you just don't remember.
You know what? I'll have Sharon look at it, and we'll get it squared away. To answer your question, Phil, I'm doing fine. And how are things going in Arizona?
Yes, that's what we want to know. How did this strike you? What side of this debate were you on?
Well, we supported the bill. We support the expansion of religious liberty, Phil. We want to make sure, not the expansion so much as to protect religious freedom and religious liberty. We want to make sure, Phil, that we don't lose our root and our foothold in God and our foothold in God's Word. Our society is a great society, but it's only great insofar as it's informed every day by the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit. And that's why we feel it's important for us to maintain and to reinforce and expand religious liberty.
So with the veto by Jan Brewer, what is... what is your feeling? I mean, you know the argument, right?
Oh, we heard all the arguments, yeah.
I mean, the argument being this is just another way, not so much of expanding or reinforcing the religious freedoms of some, it's another way of excluding a group of people from the world of the same civil liberties the rest of us have.
Well, I don't agree with that, Phil. I think that I need to be protected. My religious freedom needs to be protected from individuals that would, and this is a tough one for me to say, there is a certain amount of temptation, I think, for all of us. I'm opposed, and so many of us on the Christian right are opposed to the forced recognition of gay marriage, for instance, or the forced recognition of a gay couple in our business, because there's a level of temptation that is going to exploit what I'm already wrestling with, and I don't make any bones about it. I don't think any of us make any bones. The religious ministers that I know, and some that I don't know, and some may be honest with themselves and some may not, but I don't need to be reminded of the fact that I have been tempted myself from time to time to engage in the act of mouth to peen.
Are you talking about being tempted to be homosexual acts?
Yeah, that's a way of putting it. I'm trying to put it in a way that people understand. To say that word, I think, is offensive.
Wait, you're saying that you're tempted into the act of into some homosexual acts by the fact that there are other homosexuals?
I think that, yeah. The fact that I want to do it. Now, this doesn't make me gay. I want you to be very, very clear when you talk to me here, Phil, because, and I know I'm on the radio, so I should be clear, but in case I'm not clear, I want you to be clear for me. I'm not gay.
If you're not gay, then how come you're tempted to have lip to mouth recess or lip to mouth act?
What do you mean lip to mouth?
He's talking about the fact that I'd be tempted to have mouth to man, man to man, mouth to man is the best way to put it, I think.
You're talking about a homosexual act.
I don't like that word because it's charged, and when you say homosexual, you are immediately looked upon by other members of our community, our Christian community, as a deformed deviant, almost like a cloven-hoofed, deformed deviant mule, or what is the animal?
You mean a goat?
Yeah, a goat. That's the demon, that's the demean.
The demon, not demean.
The demon. And to say homosexual, now I'm a demon, I'm not a minister of God's word. I'm a minister of God's word.
Look, I'm going to cut through all this stuff right now for you, okay? I'm sorry, David, but I have to.
Don't go down that predictable road. Oh, because I'm, against gay rights, I must be gay. That's very predictable, Phil. It's not believable. I don't think anybody buying that.
Well, but you know what? You're saying right now you're tempted to engage in, all right, gay sex or whatever you want to call it because of this law.
I said I was tempted to engage in lip to man, man lip. I said that I was...
Why don't you just relax and let Phil continue his questioning? Because the more you talk here, Reverend...
No, Margaret, I've not been rude to you.
I don't want to be rude to you, Reverend, but you're saying that you're tempted to engage in, all right, man lip to man... What?
To man...
If you're talking about the penis...
Okay, that...
All right, you know what, bud? See, he hung up. Shut up. I don't want you using certain charged words when we're talking to especially clergy or members of the now I got to take a break, right?
Yeah, you've been having to take a break for 2 minutes. Oh, I said penis, try to get your mind off it.
Would you mind not using that word so much? Okay.
Well, come the 15th, it won't matter.
Maybe come the 15th, it won't matter. But until this point, from this point until that point,
when you point your finger at somebody, you're pointing four fingers back at you.
Oh, okay. Gee, thank you very much.
Isn't that great? That's wonderful, bud.
I'm just saying.
Okay, that's great. Sorry, bud. And when I point my finger at you, I'm pointing four fingers back at me.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well.
Don't have to be a smartass about it.
I'll be a smartass about it. Next time I want to ask somebody a question, I'll do it my way. I don't need any help from you. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And, of course, live and mobile on TuneIn, as well as our Listen Live line. We'll be back with Reverend David Castorini from the Castorini Youth Ministry talking about the repercussions of the veto of the Religious Freedom Act in Arizona. Welcome back. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. With me is Reverend David Castorini from the Castorini Youth Ministry in Tucson, Arizona. Look, Reverend, you don't think you're gay?
No, I don't. I don't think I'm gay at all, and I think I've been very clear on that. I because I've been tempted to engage in a gay act, you think that makes me gay? Aren't you tempted to engage in certain sex acts with a woman?
Yeah.
Well,
that doesn't make Phil gay.
Are you tempted to have gay? Do you have gay sex?
I can't say I'm tempted to have gay sex.
Have you ever had a gay dream?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
Oh, wow.
God, are you kidding me, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I think just about every man has, if he's being honest with himself.
Well, I don't believe that I've ever had a dream like that.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I have, Mr. Henry.
Well, that's a predictable answer. I don't expect guys to come out and admit it, but I'm admitting it here to the Reverend, just so we're on even playing ground here.
Well, you're saying you had a gay dream. How do you know that don't make you gay?
I don't know. Maybe I am gay. What do you think of that? Maybe I am gay.
Well, have you had sex with a man?
No, I have not.
Have you been tempted to go out and...
No, I haven't.
But you just said you had gay dreams.
Sure. Yeah, I have.
Well...
I'm just asking you this question because you've just said to me that you have been tempted to have sex with a man even though you are opposed to the inclusion of gays in marriage, and you believe in this Religious Liberties Act, or whatever the hell this thing's called, in Arizona, doesn't that really pretty much say that you are denying something here?
Well, Phil, you just said that you have gay dreams, and you're denying you're gay?
No, I'm not denying anything. I'm not denying anything. Maybe I am gay. Who knows? I haven't had sex with a man. If I had, I'd be happy to tell you, but I haven't. I pretty much am preoccupied in terms of the sexual side of my brain with thinking about women.
What portion of your brain is reserved for men?
Well, Phil, it's a good question.
But what portion of my brain? The subconscious part of it that had those dreams, I guess.
And you don't think you're suppressing anything?
No, I don't. I really don't. I don't. Let me tell you something. Let's just say I'm gay, okay? Will that make you feel better, or...
Well, no, Phil. If you're gay, come out and say you're gay.
Okay, I'm gay.
You are gay?
Yes, I'm gay.
And so you have sex with men, or you think about having sex with men?
No, I don't.
Well, what are you talking about, then? Because you had the one dream that think that makes you gay?
But that's what makes you guys think that I'm gay, so why don't I just go ahead and say it? Let's get that off the table, man. You know... Are you gay?
No, I'm not gay.
Why don't you just say you're gay?
Because I'm not gay, Phil. I'm married, I've got a wife. I've been tempted to do what you want to call, to have my mouth go on to the part.
You've been tempted to have gay sex.
I'm not going to say that. I've had temptations.
Why don't you want to call it gay sex?
Because I'm not gay, and I'm not a homosexual.
But you've been tempted to have a sex act with a man.
I won't even say that. You see, Phil, you want me to admit I'm gay, and I'm not gay. I've been tempted to have to bend over.
You know, one of the reasons why you're having a hard time articulating this is because you've never allowed yourself to articulate it. So you're going through life coming up with all kinds of weird euphemisms and ways of saying stuff because you've never really let yourself say it.
I think what Phil's saying, do you understand what Phil is saying here, Reverend?
No, I don't. I don't know what Phil's saying. Phil's trying to get me to admit I'm a homosexual. I'm not a homosexual. I'm a Christian minister. Okay? I've got no... I got no homosexualismality in me.
Homosexualismality? You're making words up here, Reverend. Just come right out and say it. You want to have a guy...
Excuse me.
Well, you know, I'm trying to...
I'll do it here, General. All right, let's forget about it. Forget that you're gay.
I'm not gay, but I'm honest enough with you to say that because of my calling as a Christian minister, and because I know, because I want to have a guy bend me over, okay, I understand the danger of having guys bending each other over and then having a church say that that's cool. See what I mean?
But God forbid we call that gay.
God, it's not gay for me.
But it's gay for other guys.
If they're gay.
But if they're not gay...
I resent very much, Phil.
Phil, I think you're confusing the Reverend here.
No, you guys are being too easy on him. That's what's going on here.
Well, Phil, this comes down to your belief that people that are opposed to gay marriage, men, are homosexuals.
Yes, that's exactly what I believe. I believe people, especially men, who are very vocal against gay marriage, very vocal against the gay inclusion in regular life, who are vocal supporters of laws like this religious liberty, are closeted homosexuals. Yes, I do believe that.
Oh, my God. That's, wow.
That's a very powerful statement, Phil. That's going to get a lot of people. They're just now going to write you off.
Well, then maybe they're homosexuals.
Oh, okay. So everybody that disagrees with Phil Henry is a homosexual.
No, not everybody. Just the ones that are against gay marriage. Guys, men. okay?
What about the women that are opposed to it?
I think they're just, they're women that, you know, will go along with anything that a man says. And I think that that you asking me if I'm gay, I just came out and told you, yes, I am gay.
Well, but you're not gay the way I'm not gay. But you're not gay saying you're not gay. You don't think about getting bent over.
No, I don't. But let's just say I do, okay? I mean, if it makes you feel better.
It doesn't make me feel better. It makes me feel bad for you. Feel like I want to pray for you. That your sin, the sin that you mock God with, that you go out in public and say, I'm gay. Hey, I'm gay. And I want to do a man the way I've always dreamed.
The way you've always dreamed of doing it.
No, I didn't say that. You did.
Okay, let's say I said that.
Well, how does that make you feel?
I feel great. I feel fantastic.
So you don't like girls, huh?
I do like girls, actually.
Then that would make you bisexual, wouldn't it?
I guess so, yes. It would make me bisexual.
See?
Well, Reverend Phil's... Why don't you admit, Phil, that you're just a screaming queen?
I am! There! Does that make you feel better? I am. I'm a screaming queen. But the fact is, I still support gay marriage, and I support the rights of gay people, and I'm against this Arizona law. The Reverend Castorini here is in favor of the Arizona law, is in favor of banning a gay marriage, but he won't come out and admit that he's gay, even though he dreams about getting bent over.
I said, yeah. Did I say gay?
No, you didn't say gay. You just said bent over.
One minute.
You can't do that. Think about a guy bending you over. You got to be gay.
No, not as long as I keep myself free of that word. If I can stay clear of it, if I can just stay clear of it for another 24 hours, one day at a time, I won't be gay. One day at a time, I won't say I'm gay, even
though you're thinking about it morning, noon, and night.
No, not morning, noon, and night. No. I think it's terrible that you, Phil, to... I mean, one day at a time, if I can stay clear of the queer, and that's what we tell our
30 seconds.
To stay clear of the queer, and...
Hold on for a minute. This I gotta hear.
Well, I don't think it's anything. He just came up with it.
He just came up with it.
He said he tells his young people that.
Yeah, he just said he tells his young people, stay clear of the queer. 24 hours. One day at a time. Take it one day. All right, we'll be right back. I shouldn't laugh. It's a tragic, tragic topic. It's pathetic. Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Why do you have that Spike Lee story up?
Yeah, I wanted to read this story to the audience, and on Phil TV and HD, we have a little feed from the net, and I had gentrification, why Spike Lee was ranting about New York. Spike Lee flipped out or something in some, you know, I like to follow Spike Lee. I think he's a terrific filmmaker. As a public advocate for things, he's clumsy. I'm sorry, but he is.
Well, I'm talking about him clumsy. Take it easy, Robert. He's not all being racist or anything.
No, I know you're not being racist, Mr. What do you mean?
I don't think he's the most articulate guy. I think he's articulate with his filmmaking. I think his filmmaking is brilliantly articulate. But he himself, like many of us, you know, I've often said that if I stray too far away from the funny, I sound like a real jackass. I mean it, you know.
Well, I think that's what's happening right here with this entire idea of whether or not you... Phil.
No, but wait, Margaret.
No, you wait. And get Reverend Castorini on the phone. Get him back up on the line. I think it's about time that I took a little bit of charge of this, because I think what's going on here... Yeah, Reverend, it's Margaret.
Yes, Margaret.
First of all, I don't concur with Phil's belief that because you are opposed to gay marriage, it automatically makes you a closet homosexual. But, I think when it strays out into areas of civil liberty, you know what I'm saying?
Margaret, I understand what you're saying. You don't have to yell at... You're very strenuous.
Well, I want people to understand this.
I understand. You're saying that beyond the topic of gay marriage, if it gets into not serving gay people in public places, you say that that makes me some... way back in the closet, buried deep in a hat box, mincing queer. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't use those words at all.
It's not saying that.
Well, that's what you're saying. No, I know. Yeah, I know you're not saying it, but you are saying it.
Well, hold on, Reverend. No one is being vituperative that way.
Nobody is, but let's cut through it. All of you people there tonight are saying, because I don't want to have to serve some homosexual in my restaurant, that makes me, in point of fact, a far, far, far back in the darkest corner of the closet, swishing, mincing, Mr. Blackwell, I mean...
Wow, I mean...
Well, that's what you people are saying.
I don't like being called you people.
I don't mean you people as in you're a black. I'm saying you people as in you...
An ass.
Yeah, that's more like it.
Well, I'm not sitting here offending or trying to insult you, Reverend. I'm saying that there are issues. I really do.
You think that I'm a homosexual?
You've just about said it, Reverend. You're saying you have fantasies about getting bent over, lip to man, whatever the hell you call it. You don't want to use the word gay, and you don't want to use the word homosexual because you think if you do, that demeans you. That is beside the point. It's a monstrous word and a monstrous act, and it's got nothing to do with you.
No, it has absolutely nothing to do with me.
But wanting to be bent over, that's fine.
That is a fantasy that I've had. I've gone so far as, well...
Well, you might as well tell us,
What do you think, General? Do you think that I'm some kind of a... So you think I'm a swishing queen, too? God!
I you told me something, and if you could explain this, I'd be very happy... Reverend Castorini told me that he has purchased one of these industrial-sized cans of Crisco, and it sits there in his kitchen.
Yeah, because that's part of me sort of vocalizing or just expressing that side of me.
But that's not gay.
No, it's not gay.
Well, what's the Crisco for? Is it for cooking?
No, it's not for cook. Give me a break. Yeah, it's for cooking.
Yeah, it's for cooking, all right.
You know, Bud, I can laugh at that, but I don't like you laughing at it, because when you laugh at it, that means you, an inferior man, well, not inferior.
Oh, he's inferior, huh? Why, because he was in a motorcycle accident and has a plate in his head?
Well, no, I didn't say that, Phil. I'm just saying, you know how I feel about...
Euthanasia?
Yes, euthanasia. I don't think Bud should be euthanized. I think a certain segment of our population.
You are really getting into some very, very deep water here. And I think before you go on, you need to be counseled yourself by a member of the clergy that you respect.
I am my own. I am a youth ministry counselor. The fact that you don't get where I'm coming from. You understand where I'm coming from? You don't understand where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a place. It's called Jesus Town. That's the town I come from. That's the country I live in. Is Jesus United States of Jesus, or the Jesus States of America, or the United Jesus of America, whichever you want to call it. You can call it UJA. I don't like UJA because it sounds, well,
sounds Jewish.
Yeah, it sounds a little Jew.
Boy, look at you, man. Sounds Jew. You don't want to talk about this. You're euthanasia.
I didn't say that Bud needs to be euthanized.
What's euthanized mean? Means that I'll put you to death on account of you got a plate in your head.
What? So in other words, you think that I'm... Oh, yeah, right. I'm one of those guys that the bald-headed people that Hitler put to death.
I didn't say anything about you being a bald-headed guy that Hitler put to death. I didn't say you got to be put to death at all. I'm trying to use God's law in a way that returns us to traditional family values. And
traditional family values, which is that you go back in the closet and you stay there and you're comfortable there and, oh, yeah, we euthanize guys like Bud.
Boy, Phil, you just put that in the most hateful way possible, didn't you?
No, I'm just repeating what you said.
No, you put that in the most hateful... Because I said to you that I've got an industrial-sized can of Crisco in my kitchen, you take that to mean that I am out dancing, proud, waving one hand in the air, rainbow-colored queer. That's what you think.
Reverend...
No, is that what you think?
Reverend...
Yes or no, Phil?
Yes. Yes, that's what I think.
Well, I feel sorry for you, and I'm going to pray for you. Okay? I'm going to pray for you.
Well, I've heard it said that I'm going to pray for you is a Christian's way of saying...
Don't say it. Reverend Castorini, you know, we all have our... Well, you know...
Look, I don't need you lecturing me. I'm opposed to gay marriage. I'm opposed to having a gay sit down in my restaurant and make me go and cook him a meal. That's all I'm saying. If I see a guy walk in...
Let me ask you, how do you know someone's gay?
How do I know someone's gay?
Yes. If you're a Christian and you have a restaurant and you don't want to serve gay people, how do you identify a gay person?
Well, if he comes in with his boyfriend hand in hand, three guesses, the first two don't count.
Wow.
Get a load of you.
Well, what if they don't come in hand? What if it's just two guys together?
If it's two guys together, what do you mean, if it's two guys together?
That's a good question. How do you know a guy's gay if he comes into a restaurant and there's no outward sign that he is a homosexual? How do you know he is?
If he comes in with another guy...
But they're not holding hands and they're not kissing. They're just two guys.
If he comes in with another guy several nights running, let's say that. Let's say you see him not one night, not two, but let's say every night for five nights a week, you're going to start thinking, okay, now, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire.
So he's eating a dinner with the same guy every night in your restaurant. How do you know it's not a guy he works with? And that's a tradition they have of coming to the restaurant and having something to eat before they leave, or maybe having something to drink before they leave and go off to their homes.
Well, you don't come into a restaurant dressed in, you know, slacks with cologne. You just pour a bottle of cologne on yourself, and you're there in slacks, and you've soaked yourself in cologne, and you're with another guy.
Okay, so when has that happened? Has that actually happened in your restaurant?
I don't own a restaurant. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Well, you asked me about a restaurant.
Well, you know, you brought up the restaurant.
Well, I'm just, you know...
So you don't have a business. You're... Okay.
Do you make all of your money from your congregation?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'm paid a salary by our congregation. If I had a business, it would probably be a machine shop, a speed shop, or motorcycle. I like the motorcycles.
Would you sell motorcycles to a gay guy?
I would not. No, I do not believe in serving the gay. I'm not saying I hate the man, but I will not serve the act of putting putting your you know what up a guy.
Well, that's a gay act, so you could call that a gay act, couldn't you?
Yeah, you can, but I don't want to legitimize it, Phil. Every time you use that word, you legitimize a guy putting it into...
All right. Thank you very much, Reverend. I think I understand.
Oh, yeah. You're going to go home and say, well, I talked to that queer Castorini again tonight, and I'll...
Okay.
Did you hang up on him?
Yeah, I think I did. When you hear the line go dead, it's either me hanging up or them hanging up, you know?
Or me cutting them off.
Or you cutting them off? You better not be cutting them off without me saying, you know, that...
What?
That I'm giving him permission. You know what I'm talking about. All right, so there's Reverend Castorini. I wonder what's going to happen next there in Arizona. Well, I think that they're going to press on, they say, and I should have asked him.
Yeah, you're too busy talking about how he's not gay.
Well,
you know, I don't think it's fair of you, and I agree with Margaret, you characterizing every single guy.
Oh, I forgot to give him the quiz. Nikki sent me the Kinsey Report quiz. Call him back, will you?
Yeah, call him back if you hung up on him?
He won't mind. He loves getting in the big plug for his ministry. All right, we're going to give him the quiz, or do you want to give somebody else Pastor Rennick the quiz or something?
Why didn't you have Pastor Rennick on?
Because Pastor Rennick supports gay marriage. What do you want from me?
See? You're being prejudiced against the white man, even though the white man is the one that's prejudiced himself.
Yeah, that's it.
I see.
All right, we're going to be back on the Phil Henry Show. Well, we'll give somebody this test, man. Someone is going to take this very interesting Kinsey Report test. Well, we come back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We were going to get Reverend Castorini back on to give him the... is he there?
Yeah, Reverend Castorini, you want to come on doing? Get me on the show, though. Why? What? Who did?
Bud, how long have I told you don't have these off-air conversations?
I know, but hold on. No, he didn't call you a queen. You did. You did. You called yourself a mincing queen. No.
Give me the phone, will you? Don't do that. Hey, Reverend, you want to come on here? We want to give you this Kinsey test. No, you're not a guinea pig. I can't put you on the air without your permission. I can't put you on the air without your permission. No, I'm not going to make you... You don't have to take the test. It's a Kinsey report. Kinsey. K-I-N-S-E-Y. Kinsey. Kinsey. He was a guy that did a whole bunch of sex surveys in the 50s about American sexuality. No, it's not going to prove you're gay. I don't know. Who? His name's Kinsey.
What are you doing, Phil?
Hold on. His name's Kinsey. All right, I got to go because I can't. You don't want to come on the air? You don't want to come on the air. You do want to come on the air. You don't. Do you or don't you? Do you or don't you? Okay. What? I'm... Who? Who show? No, I'm not Dennis Prager. Get out of here.
What'd he do?
He thought he was talking to Dennis Prager.
What is wrong with that man?
Who? Well, Reverend Castorini.
No, not Reverend Castorini, Dennis Prager.
I don't know what you people are talking about now, okay? So here's this Kinsey report. I mean, here's the... who should I give this test to?
Give it to me. I don't mind. I'm a woman. I'm open. All right.
Yeah, a lot of guys can be afraid to answer the questions.
I ought to give this to you, bud, if you could ever answer this honestly. All right. What gender do you identify with as?
Woman.
Are you sure?
You're not funny, bud.
No, but no, I'm not trying to be funny, but isn't that about what do I really think I am?
What?
No, talk about identify as.
No, this isn't got anything to do. Do you think of yourself as a man or a woman? It doesn't have anything to do with... I guess it would have something to do with transgender, wouldn't it?
Yes, if you think of yourself as a man, even though you're a woman, yes.
All right, but you...
I feel I'm a woman.
All right. True or false, I have never felt sexual desire.
False.
All right. I cannot decide what sex I'm attracted to more.
False. You know, if that jackass is going to sit there, I'm going to...
Hey, watch it. Bud, get out of here, man.
I can... Why? I get to... How come I don't get to be here?
Because you're making jokes. So, I cannot decide what sex I'm attracted to.
False.
All right, false. Let's see here. I find the idea of having sex with another man repulsive. Is this supposed to be for men or women? I develop a kind of homosexuality. I find the idea of having sex with another man repulsive. Am I supposed to... I guess you only ask that if you are a man. Don't they have the same question with women?
If you selected woman as her gender.
Oh, it was man. Sorry. Here, now there's woman.
What did you selected man as my gender?
I made a mistake. All right. I find the idea of having sex with another woman repulsive.
False.
Oh, it's false. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's false. I mean, I don't think it's a repulsive idea.
All right. I wouldn't want to die without having experimented sexually with both men and women.
That's false.
False. I have no interest in sexual intercourse with anyone.
False.
False. The gender composition of an orgy would be irrelevant to my decision to participate.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You said you went to Plato's retreat.
We wore towels, thank you. The gender composition, that would matter to me.
All right, so then that would be, the gender would be irrelevant, so that's false. I avoid watching lesbian pornography.
I wouldn't say I avoid it. I don't. I would say that I don't watch out for it.
But I mean, if it came on TV?
I probably wouldn't watch too much of it. It would depend, Phil. I'm being very honest here, by the way.
Yeah, I appreciate your honesty, Margaret.
Oh, my God, look at his face.
God, General, you look like you're all...
What?
You licked your lips and you're staring... Don't stare at me.
Sorry, that was...
Yeah, you were licking your lips and looking at her.
I was lucking my lips.
No, you were staring at her. Your face is all red. Your eyes are bugged out.
Oh, give me a break, okay? For the first time in my life, I'm enjoying myself.
Next question.
All right, next question. So do you avoid watching lesbian pornography?
I would have to say that is... I don't go out of my way to avoid it.
Well, how do you answer that question, then?
I don't know.
I'll make it false. I can be sexually attracted to anyone in the right circumstances.
That's probably true.
Okay. See, women, you guys all answer the same way. You know, women are a lot more, I think it's not that you guys are more honest. you know.
That's nice, Phil. Could you keep asking the questions?
Yeah, we're not really at this point interested in you, Phil. We've already heard you're gay. I'm kidding.
Yeah. All right. I can be sexually attracted to anyone in the right circumstance, and you said that that is true. I have always been extremely confident in my sexual orientation.
Oh, that's absolutely true.
Okay. So you're very confident in your sexual orientation. I find women more attractive than men.
That's false.
False. Sorry, I just did the wrong thing. False. I would find a threesome with a couple awkward specifically because of the presence of the woman.
That's true, because especially if you know her, well, even if you didn't know her, that's true.
All right, so you'd find that awkward. I am only attracted to women.
Well, obviously false.
Okay. And then finally, I am sexually submissive. Get out of here, bud.
Was he looking around the corner?
Yeah.
I am sexually, in certain situations, I would say probably yes, given the fact that my husband, Frank, is quite powerful. And I've always been attracted, well, you know Yuri and the whole thing with the Greek.
Yeah, the guy that ate the sandwich while he was making love to you?
Yes. It was terribly exciting.
Okay, so I would say that you are submissive.
Oh, look at you with the... Are you getting your kicks?
A little bit, yeah. All right, so that's the end of that. So what do we do now? We click here to find the score. If you don't answer all the questions, your results are likely to be wrong. It says click here, and then it says score. So which one do you click?
Click score.
Why does it say click here?
I don't know.
All right, let's see. Naturally, something was done wrong. Predominantly heterosexual, only incidentally homosexual.
Well, that didn't... I could have told you that before. What is that?
That's the answer. There are a bunch of them. Exclusively heterosexual, predominantly heterosexual, only incidentally homosexual. But here's the thing about these tests. People are going to lie on these, aren't they?
Well, that's a very good point. If a guy, especially Castorini, that guy would try to make himself look just right straight down the pipe, a full raging bull, a heterosexual.
A bull heterosexual?
Yes. In other words, a dominant
1 minute
bull in the sexual barnyard. If you don't, you know.
The sexual barnyard? Yeah, they sound like they're in a barnyard.
The sexual bull in the heterosexual barnyard.
I didn't say that at all.
All right. Well, I tell you, we'll spend some time talking about this, which is the last thing that I really want to do, but we've got the break coming up here, our top of the hour break for the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Why don't you take the test, Phil?
I'm happy to take the test. I'm happy to take the test. I just thought it would be more interesting with Reverend Castorini. I'll take it during the break because we've got other things to get to here. The Spike Lee gentrification rap, I should say. Let's find out what happened there.
I got all pissed off because what they've done in the neighborhood.
I don't know what he's talking about. Where do you live, Spike? Let's ask that question. Where do you live? You're talking about old neighborhoods and how they're messing up neighborhoods. Where do you live? Be back.
One.
World famous Phil Henry Show. We are live and mobile on TuneIn, live and mobile on the Phil Henry Show website, and free. Just hit listen live. That's all you got to do. With a subscription to our website, that is our backstage pass, you get our nightly video cast, video events that we will air on weekends, especially during the summertime when we have our Saturday night movies. And we also have our special pre-shows where you can, watch me as I rail against life and man in these times.
Now, I want people to know, Phil just took the sexual Kinsey Report test. And,
Wait a minute, Margaret.
No, I want to do this.
Well, Margaret, he ought to be allowed.
No, I want to do this because we're going to bring Larry Grover, right?
Yeah, we're going to get Larry Grover on from Conservatives of Kern County. That's another group that is totally supported the Arizona bill. And Larry will take this Kinsey test. Now, go ahead, Margaret.
Now, here's the interesting thing about Phil's test. Phil admitted to watching gay porn.
Are you kidding me or something?
Hold on, bud. Wait.
Phil admitted to watching gay porn. Phil also said that in the right circumstance, he could be gay. Isn't that what that said?
In the right circumstance, yeah, I could be, I could have homosexual sex, something like that.
Yes. Well, so those were some answers to the overall test that he took. Now, what do you think the test said he was? General?
Well, I think the test would say that he's primarily heterosexual, but with gay tones, with a gay coloration or tones or fabric. Not fabric, but...
We're not decorating a house here, okay?
Yeah, I'm sure. That does make you gay, then.
What does?
Because all the gay tones.
Not gay tones. They didn't say that. They say part heterosexual. They'll say heterosexual, predominantly heterosexual with homosexual leanings.
Yeah, that's what that said?
No. Phil's test result, I'll give you in a minute, bud.
What did it say?
I'll give it to you in a minute, bud.
I think it says that he's heterosexual with gayness or gay tones.
It doesn't say gay tones, you moron. I'm going to kick someone's ass.
All right, take it easy, Margaret.
And I don't like you grabbing my arm like that, Phil.
I don't want you going over the table on people, okay? Do you mind? Heterosexual with homosexual leanings, is that it?
Yeah.
What about you, Robert?
No, I'll say the same thing.
All right. Phil's test result was exclusively heterosexual.
Oh, my bare rear end. How could that be if he says that he's watched the gay porn and would indeed pigeonhole some young boy in a shower?
It didn't say that, man.
Well, what are you laughing at?
It didn't say that. The question that it asked me was, could I engage in the right circumstance in a homosexual act? Anyway, so it says that I'm exclusively... So we're going to bring Larry Grover on to take this test, and the reason being... That obviously, if you try to outwit this test by saying no, 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 no to anything that even remotely says you're gay, the test is not, I don't think, is fooled by that.
Well, you said that you occasionally would watch gay porn.
I've said that, I forget what the question was. Would you watch, here it is, I avoid watching gay pornography.
And you said no.
I said false.
Well, then why would that say you're exclusively... I don't understand this at all.
Well, because it takes... You know, there are certain natural things that heterosexuals, I guess, do, and some of that includes fantasizing about or watching homosexual sex. I don't know. Larry Grover's going to be joining us here in just a moment on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Want to remind you that the online store at philhenryshow.com is kind of a beautiful thing. In fact, I want to bring it up here on our, if I can, bring it up here on Phil TV in HD, just so you can see the groovy stuff, what we got, man.
Hey, when are you going to do a free video cast? Everybody asking about it and everything.
Yeah, a lot of people want to know if you're going on Ustream.
We are going to go on Ustream, and what we're planning on doing is a free video cast a week. And I think that would be a fun thing to do. A free video cast a week. So take a look at your Phil TV screen, and there you see Ted's of Beverly Hills shirts. There's our Rudy Canoza La La Ladies Tee. There's the Ted's of Beverly Hills hooded pullover sweatshirt. And if you go inside, we've got collectibles, and those collectibles include the Bobby Dooley keychain, the official Phil Henry Show coffee mug, and the official Phil Henry Show shot glass, of which we are extremely proud. We also have our digital downloads of all of our best-of CDs, the classic best-of CDs from 1997 right through 2005, and we also have the Miami Best of Miami 2004, which is a real collector's item. That's a CD download. I do not believe we have the hard copy. Here are the hard copies that we do have, which are all of our best of CDs, the classic best of CDs from 97 through 2005. And don't forget our gift subscriptions, the $9.99 all access backstage pass gift subscription, and then the audio only backstage pass gift subscription, $9.99 a month or $4.99 a month. So I think it's kind of a cool thing. Take advantage of all of that grooviness as soon as you most possibly can. Okay, Larry Grover joining us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Larry, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, Phil. I heard I got the premise of what it is you're going to be doing here. You're going to be asking me the Kinsey Report. Let me tell you before you go into this, Kinsey, Alfred Kinsey was one of these Eastern intellectuals that believed he could quantify and codify
whether or not someone was a homosexual based upon these questions. I doubt seriously if Mr. Kinsey's tests would, in point of fact, be considered or deemed accurate today by an impartial...
We can't hear you, Larry.
You've got to get closer to the phone.
Sorry, by an impartial jury...
Phil, it's Gloria.
Okay, Gloria, I can't have you on the phone.
No, I'm just trying to get Larry to get... You have to be close.
I'm close to the phone, Mother. So, in other words, Phil, I think that I'd be happy to take your quiz and to find out, you know, but I'm a heterosexual. Don't you worry about that.
And I asked Larry because, you know, I have my doubts.
Mother loves to humiliate me. She's, yeah, because I wasn't circumcised, she has a nickname for my, for the penis that I do have.
What do you mean the penis that you do have? You mean the...
I mean the one that I got now, that I, other than the one that I would have had I been circumcised.
Yeah. All right. We don't need to know about nicknames that your own mother has for your you-know-what, if you don't mind.
You-know-what?
Yeah. Now, let me just ask you some questions here. All right. So, Larry, how old are you?
I'm 43.
43. Jeez, I'm sorry. I got to use two hands here. That's interesting. 43. All right, Larry, what gender do you identify as? Obviously, you are...
I identify as a man.
Okay. Please evaluate the following statements as... please evaluate the following statements as true or false. I have never felt sexual desire. True or false?
Well, that's false.
You know what? This is impossible for me to do.
Why?
Because I'm having to use too many hands, and
You're using too many hands to do what?
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, what are you trying to do?
I'm trying to punch buttons on this thing. I'm trying to do the show. It's an impossible thing to do. Hey, Nikki, you don't have this thing in front of you, do you?
Yeah.
Why don't you, Larry can, why don't you do this, okay? Can you record Larry's answers?
I can.
That's a great way of putting it, Phil. He finally got around to it.
Yeah, why don't you,
Okay. So you'll go ahead and ask the question, Nikki, and Larry will answer. How about that?
Because I can do that.
Okay.
All right, who's asking me the question?
Nikki.
All right. I'll accept that.
True or false?
Go ahead.
I have never felt sexual desire.
That she's asking me or she's saying that?
I'm asking you.
That's false.
I cannot decide what sex I am attracted to more.
That's false.
I find the idea of having sex with another man repulsive.
True.
I wouldn't want to die without having experimented sexually with both men and women.
False.
I have no interest in sexual intercourse with anyone.
False.
The gender composition of an orgy would be irrelevant to my decision to participate.
False.
I avoid watching gay pornography.
True.
I can be sexually attracted to anyone in the right circumstances.
False. I'm complete no. That's impossible.
I have always been extremely confident in my sexual orientation.
True.
False.
Mother, it's true.
It's false.
I find men more attractive than women.
False. Jeez.
I would find a threesome with a couple awkward, specifically because of the presence of the man.
True.
I am only attracted to men.
I'm only attracted to men.
True or false?
That's false.
I am sexually submissive.
False.
Your score is a zero, exclusively heterosexual.
Thank you. See? So Henry, the same thing Henry got, and he said that he was interested in having looking at gay porn. So?
That surprises me. How come I scored a zero? I mean, I scored a zero? That's called a zero?
Yeah.
How come I scored a zero and he scored a zero and I was more honest about the gay porn thing?
Because that doesn't define homosexuality.
Oh, I see.
It's fantasy.
I got you.
It's curiosity.
Totally.
Yeah, but Larry's not even curious.
Why would I want to be curious about something disgusting? It disgusts me. The whole idea of men on men, man, guy with guy, makes me sick. It almost...
Does it make you violent?
No, I'm not going to fall into your trap, because if I said yes, then you'd say that I was a bull queen. And I'm not about...
All right, thanks a lot, Larry. What's that? Oh, it's 17 at...
A bull queen.
Yep. All right, so enough of that. But I think what we've done tonight over the last hour and 15 minutes with this topic is I think we have given the state of Arizona a better education on gay, non-gay, this gay, down gay, up gay, her gay, me gay. I think we've just...
I'd say we're gayed out, if you want my honest opinion.
Yeah, we pretty much went down the gay road all the way to the gay street.
What? All right, anyway, we'll be back on a Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and with more, and all y'all, you know. Hey! Hey! Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So we got that out of the way, huh?
Well, that was a whole lot of weird.
And Larry Grover called back. He feels very, very, I feel sorry for Larry.
Why?
Well, he felt that you guys mocked him and made fun of him and...
All right. Well, where is he? Larry, we're sorry, man. You know? What happened?
Well, you know, I got mother over here saying, oh, Larry is as queer as a $3 bill.
I didn't say that, Larry.
Yes, you did, mother.
I was joking, Bill.
Well, you tend to joke a little bit too much with him.
Yeah, and then you guys, after I hang up, you're all, yeah, ha, 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 Larry... Larry must be as queer as a $3 bill, and mother is Larry's as queer as a $3 bill, and
Well, I don't think anybody used that term.
Well, that's what you're. Yeah, you did. Didn't you say that I was queer as a $3 bill?
No, I didn't say that at all.
Well, and the term Larry is queer as a $2 bill.
Queer as a $2 bill? They've got $2 bills.
Yeah, they do have $2 bills.
Well, they may have $2 bills now. But when they came up with that term, they didn't have $2 bills.
Yeah, but a guy can't be queer as a $2 bill now. If I'm queer as a $2 bill, I'm not queer. And so that's not an insult.
You're not, and let's not use that word anymore, and thank you very much, okay? I've got to move on.
Well, I mean, you guys talk about me being...
I think the biggest problem Larry has is living at home with his mother.
Yeah, bingo! Bingo! What that guy doing living at home with his mom?
I don't know, man. I mean, the guy, Larry, you know...
What's his story, anyway? I don't think I've got the whole Larry Grover story.
Larry was a fairly successful businessman in Bakersfield with his wife and his four daughters when he became obsessed with the Clinton impeachment. And he formed a group called Conservatives of Kern County... And he became more obsessed and more obsessed to the point where he began to withdraw from his wife and daughters. And the next thing you know, they had no real life together. Larry was spending every waking moment on the Clinton impeachment trying to...
What side of that street was he walking on?
Well, conservative.
Yeah, he wanted to peach him.
He wanted to peach him. It's called impeach.
Impeach.
Oh.
So, I see. So the peachment, not the peachment. See what you made me do?
I didn't do nothing.
But you put the in my mind now. The peach. What is the thing? The peachy, not the peachy.
Impeachment, General.
It's called impeachment, General.
I know that, but the thing that you put your report in. Now I'm thinking about that. Did he have a peachy?
Did he have a peachy? What?
The peachy folder.
Okay, General,
No, don't blow me off like I've got part of my brain that needs to be looked at during the autopsy, because obvious...
General, to finish the story...
Go ahead.
What do you mean a peachy folder, by the way?
You've never heard of a peachy.
Is that what it's called, a peachy?
I don't know. I remember when I was a kid, when we were all kids. I don't know about Bud and Robert and but the peachy was a... You remember,
Oh, I know what that was. It was a cardboard folder of some kind that you put papers in.
Yes.
What's that got to do with Clinton?
You said peachment, didn't you?
No, I said impeachment. All right. So Larry was trying to get Clinton impeached and became so obsessed with getting Clinton impeached that he withdrew from his wife and daughters, and they eventually moved out. His wife moved out with the girls, and Larry lost his business, and Larry became so obsessed and so compelled by this political, this whole thing going on with Clinton that he eventually lost his business and wound up moving in with his mother back in Culver City, where he now sleeps on the service porch on a cot, and that's that, you know.
He sleeps on a cot.
Yeah. He sleeps on a cot on the service porch and still can't get himself loose of CNN, Fox, and all that crap. I think that Larry is the ultimate political eunuch. I think Larry is the ultimate, and that his mother thinks he's gay because of the very things we've been talking about.
Do you?
No, I think Larry is more asexual, like that whole asexual thing. See, that's that other thing that
What's asexual?
Asexual is not being interested in sex at all.
You put me on, man, but people like that?
Yeah, there's people like that. There's people that are not heterosexual, that are not homosexual necessarily. They're just not interested in sex. They're just not interested in sex. It's not anything that is of interest to them. It could be something with their hormones. It could be, who knows what it is. It could be something having more to do with the brain but just the type of person. In other words, it doesn't mean a lack any more than being a heterosexual or a homosexual means that you're lacking something. It's a person. It's a type. It's an orientation.
Well, it's not really an orientation, though, is it?
Yeah, it's an orientation. It's an asexual orientation. So, you know, you're not interested in sex. And this was what they think, essentially, was the orientation of James Buchanan. James Buchanan was the president before, what's his name, Lincoln.
What's his name?
Yeah, I don't even know what Lincoln's called.
Yeah, I think he's called Lincoln. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Henry.
Well, Phil's right, technically.
Thank you very much.
Well, I gave you a hint.
Yeah, you did give me a hint. That's right. You said, I don't know what Lincoln's called. I went, uh-oh, Bud just gave me a hint. His name's Lincoln.
Well,
Bud, don't you see where Phil's trying to make you look like a boob? You don't, do you?
That made me look like no boob.
So Lincoln, the guy before him was Buchanan. They said that James Buchanan was gay. No, James Buchanan was not gay. You could read the letters between James Buchanan and friends of his where they used the floral language of the 19th century. Men often told each other that they loved each other in letters. Men often told each other that they thought about each other in letters. It was not an unusual thing for heterosexual men to speak to each other when they wrote letters, to address each other in the writing of letters in this kind of very romantic, today we would see as romantic, but back then it was just enhanced language, you know. I think of you. I look fondly upon your return when we are together again. And, you know, this kind of thing was very common. Buchanan wrote the same way to his friends as any other man did in those days. There is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that James Buchanan was gay, but there is ample evidence that he had absolutely no interest whatsoever in women or men. So his niece was the official hostess of the White House.
Now, so the niece was the one that greeted guests and so forth?
Yeah, his niece, James Buchanan's niece, was the hostess. She was the one that attended the state dinners along with him. She was the one that was the social greeter and hostess of the White House back in the day. It's as simple as that, man. And so that is the asexuality that we talk about, or that the Kinsey Report talks about. People that just don't have any interest in it, man.
Well, some people think that's weird. I think that life would be a lot better if those of us who are interested in sex were not. Unfortunately for me, and I suspect Phil, and unfortunately others in this room, that's not the case. I'm Margaret Gray. You can't. I just said I'm Margaret Gray. You can't.
Sorry.
I'm Margaret Gray.
All right, welcome back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
What have you got on the Phil TV?
Got some hockey, I don't know, something. I feel the need for a contact sport. Football is over, and it's been over now for a good month. And I wanted to just get away from sports for a while. I could care less. I watched a little teeny itsy bitsy piece of golf.
What was it called, Phil?
What was what called?
That you guys watching on the TV?
Oh, that was at Riviera.
Yeah, yes, the Riviera. Well, what are they calling it now? It used to be the L.A. Open, right?
Yeah, it used to be the L.A. Open, man. I don't. They call everything different now, man. I mean, I come from, you know, I remember the San Diego Open, the L.A. Open, and I remember. See, today it's called the AT&T at Pebble Beach. If I'm not mistaken, am I right about that? The AT&T at Pebble Beach. Yeah, that used to be called the Crosby Clam Bake, the Bing Crosby Pro-Am. And I think it still is a pro-am.
Well, what about Catherine Crosby? Now, wasn't she just elbowed out of that? I think it was a disgrace what they did to her.
No, they didn't do anything to her. Catherine Crosby, she's the widow of Bing Crosby. I think she graciously and agreeably allowed the main, representation of that course to pass to the PGA and to their sponsors, and it was AT&T. But yeah, that was the Bing Crosby for a lot of years. These golf opens, today, of course, it's all very corporate. Back in the day, they would name them after celebrities, and that attracted the corporate sponsors. You know what I'm saying?
What are you talking about? But who's Bing Crosby anyway?
That's the same guy that sang that song with David Bowie.
The guy that sang Little Drummer Boy with David Bowie?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's the guy. You yelling again, bud?
What?
Because you're going like, what? Okay, just back it down.
That's the same guy that went, Bing Crosby is the guy that sang Hey Jude and then said, no, I better not because it's about heroin. I think it was one of the most courageous decisions he ever made.
What are you talking about?
What was that?
What do you mean, Phil? Don't make it seem like I'm the one that needs to sit on the chair in the middle of the surgical theater and take a look at the shape of her head. Is that what you mean?
I hadn't even, you know.
Phil, don't give it the dead air treatment like I just said something Gloyd-like. I'm saying Bing Crosby sang the song Hey Jude by the Beatles, and then he found out it was about heroin addiction.
Who ever said that song's about heroin addiction?
Well, what do you mean?
It's about heroin addiction because, hey, Jude, la-dee-dee-dee, it's dim-witted and dulling.
Did he really think that?
Yes. And my understanding is it's true.
Hey, Jude is about heroin addiction. We're going back a long, long time, but I don't think so. I just don't think so.
Well, you're saying that Bing Crosby decided not to sing that song because he's a complete plucking imbecile. Is that it?
Not an imbecile, but he must have gotten some bad advice from somebody, because I'll tell you this, and I mean it. Bing freaking Crosby is wrong if he thinks that that song is about drug addiction. It's not, or heroin addiction. It's not.
Well, Bing Crosby doesn't think about it anymore because he can't think about it.
Yeah, on account of he's dead.
Someone should smack you.
Hey. Easy. All right. But you know, this is wild. I've never been on a radio show before where at least three or four times a night I got to hold somebody back from beating someone up or gouging somebody's eyes out.
I'll put the heel of this high heel, bud. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know you mean it. But you'll never do it if Mr. Henry has anything to say about it.
One of these days, I'm not going to stop her, man. Okay. No, so anyway, the Bing Crosby clan, how did we get into heroin addiction?
You're talking about golf.
Yes, it seems like a logical, well, it's not logical, but if you're talking about the golf game as we know it today, with the number of heroin addicts.
What heroin addicts?
That are playing the game. What about this guy Daly? That guy is up to his ears. He's stoned up to his ears on junk. On the junk.
I don't think that's true.
John Daly? John Daly, you know what? You're going to get sued for stuff like that.
No, I won't get sued. The radio show will get sued. I'm indemnified.
What's indemnified mean?
You're not indemnified from anything, man. You say something about John Daly, and he sues your ass has been sued.
Well, he'll sue you, too.
Well, then watch it, will you? John Daly had an alcohol problem, as I recall. He had an alcohol addiction problem. He had an alcoholism problem. That's what I heard John Daly have. But I never heard John Daly have any problem relative to heroin. You got to be high on a mixture of narcotics yourself.
See, right there, at least three or four times a show, you accuse the rest of us of being on a drug.
Well, some of the stuff you guys say, man, I it stands to reason. Believe me when I tell you. That's the only thing that I could possibly point to as being the reasons for some of the weird stuff you guys say. Weird? God. All right. What other stuff have you got going on here, Margaret? Did you want to...
Well, I want to mention to everyone that we were at Carnegie's in Long Beach last weekend, and we did do a gospel set. I stuck my tongue out at the devil. People seem to think I'm doing a comedy show, and it is not a comedy show. These are very wonderful gospel songs written by Reggie Howard and his wife, Cecilia.
I stuck my tongue out at the devil?
I stuck my tongue out at the devil, yes. These are traditional religious songs. And I wanted to bring on, as Phil was talking earlier about getting on Pastor William Rennick, I gave him a call because we are scheduled to be at Pastor Rennick's on, two Sundays from now, and I don't know exactly what the date of that is going to be, but we'll get Pastor Rennick on right now. Pastor William Rennick from Joyful Union Congregation. Pastor Rennick, how are you?
Very, very good. And Margaret, I want to thank you for being high at our congregation.
And tonight you're where?
We are at we're at a fundraiser for the new youth hospital that we're building here at Joyful Union Congregation.
And I want to say hello to Clara.
Clara?
Yes, hello, Margaret.
Dear, how are you? Thank you so much for the support you gave to our appearance there at Carnegie's and the Gospel Breakfast.
We had a wonderful time. I know a lot of the songs you sing are very non-traditional, but
I was about to say something. I like a lot of the gospel music that you sing, Margaret. I think I stuck my tongue out at the devil is a very non-traditional title. I think that's what got a lot of people saying to me later instead of, is she kidding or something, you know?
I understand that, but I think the support that was lent to me by yourself and the congregation, I appreciate.
Absolutely, but you do understand, you say, I stuck my tongue out the devil. Jesus, give me a jiffy. Jesus, give me the, give the jiffy pop to Jesus. I think it was
it. No, give the jiffy pop to Jesus, yes.
What is give the jiffy pop to Jesus?
Excuse me, Phil, I'm talking to the pastor.
Phil, I can't let me answer, Phil.
Go ahead.
It's a song. I have a difficult time with it. I have a difficult time with it. Because he says, give the jiffy pop to Jesus. That is a song about family time on Sunday. And Sunday is a time to spend time with family. Sunday is a time of rest. It's a day of rest. The seventh day. On the seventh day, the Lord rests. And on the seventh day, we believe in our denomination, our church, that that is a Sunday, not Saturday. Now, I understand the Jewish people and like that, but we say that's Sunday. And get the jiffy pop to Jesus is a way of saying I spend my Sunday, I spend my family time with Jesus. Now, that's all well and good. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that there's something that can be said for that. I've got a very difficult time. I got to explain this to people.
Well, what is to explain? You say give the jiffy pop to Jesus. Again, this was Reginald Coleman and his wife Cecilia. These are wonderful songs. Didn't you like the song?
I got to tell you, I had turned and I walked out when I heard Jiffy Pop because I got hungry, believe it or not.
The absolute truth. He got hungry. I said, why are you not sitting and listening to music? He said, because now all of a sudden, he said, should I say what you said?
No, please don't say it, no.
Well, he said, darn that Margaret. Now,
please don't say it.
I did not say what you said, William. He said, now I need to go out and get some Cracker Jack. So he went out and got a Cracker Jack.
But I got a bag of the Cracker Jack because you know they don't make a box.
I don't understand. Why did you go get Cracker Jack?
You were talking about Jesus and the Jiffy Pop. And,
Well, so you got hungry.
I got very hungry, yeah. Margaret's singing that. She sang the other one there, I stuck my tongue out at Jesus, stuck my tongue out at the devil. And I said to Clara, came back and said, did you stick your tongue out at Jesus? She said, you don't stick your tongue out at Jesus. You stick your tongue out at the devil. Jesus got the jiffy pop. And I said, you understand the confusion?
Well, I don't think there's any confusion. I think the songs are beautiful. They're children or childlike songs. And if there's any confusion, I think it was promulgated by yourself.
That's what I said. I think Reverend Pastor Rennick wanted to confuse people.
No, I don't want to confuse people.
And why did you say I'm going to stick my tongue out of Jesus and to hell with a Jiffy Pop?
I didn't say to hell. I said the devil got the Jiffy Pop. You know...
See, I will tell you right now, a title like I Stuck My Tongue Out at the Devil and Jesus Has Got the Jiffy Pop, that just leads into a comedic interpretation, don't you think?
That's what I think.
I don't think. You're asking me?
Yeah, and I was asking, what about you, Clara?
I agree with Margaret. I think that those are perfectly lovely songs, very simple songs.
I think it leads to the devil. They give the devil, get the Jiffy Pop. Jesus got the Jiffy Pop. What are you talking about? I'm going to stick my tongue out at the devil and Jesus got a Jiffy Pop. I'm sitting there with a Jiffy Pop. I just stuck my tongue out at the devil. How relaxing a Sunday you think I'm going to have? I got Jesus sitting there looking at me, muttering how much of the, popcorn I'm eating, and I just stuck my tongue out at the devil. You think I'm going to have fun? Forget it.
William got angry. Now he's walking away because you laughed, Phil.
Yeah, I know. Hold on, Clara.
What, Phil? The laughter doesn't help us get to the truth.
Margaret.
No, the laughter doesn't help us get to the truth. Now, I sang that song. He turns around and goes and gets Cracker Jack. Did he say, what did he say, Robert?
Yeah, so the pastor said that he got hungry, went and got a Cracker Jack with a gift in a box.
No, he didn't. He didn't say the box. He said the box wasn't big enough. He went and got a big bag of it.
They don't make no Cracker Jack by the bag.
No, that's true. I double check. I happen to like Cracker Jacks. And I went and they said, we've got the caramel corn. I said, no, I didn't ask you for caramel corn. If I asked you for caramel corn, that would be a satisfactory answer. I said, I want the Cracker Jack.
Well, there's a difference.
You better believe there's a difference. One is in a bag and the other's in a box.
No, but the Cracker Jacks has nuts in it.
That is right, yes.
Right. But what's this got to do with anything? I don't know. We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show with Pastor William Rennick and Clara Bingham, his wife, as we continue discussing here Margaret's breakfast, gospel breakfast, and the upcoming appearance, her gospel singing appearance at, where's it going to be?
I already had it, Phil. There's no upcoming one. I had it all. Oh, God. God.
I'm sorry. You should have another one.
Well, not if it's going to cause a problem like this.
Just don't do the God done the Cracker Jack.
God done the Cracker Jack.
God damn the Cracker Jack, full speed ahead.
Yeah, okay. We'll be right back. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Got to wait for that to kick in because it's Viva Las Vegas. We have with us Pastor William Rennick and Clara Bingham at Joyful Union Congregation as we continue discussing with them Margaret's forthcoming or completed gospel stint. We got sidetracked somehow, and I'm wondering how.
Phil, we did not get sidetracked. If I could just say something.
Yeah.
We did not get sidetracked by anything. I have said that if she said she wanted to do the song, Jesus Got the Jiffy Pop, I thought that was a silly name to a song.
It is not a silly name to a song, Pastor. It's a wonderful song, a gospel song for children.
All right, that may be well and good, but I get hungry. That's not Margaret's fault. It's not Margaret's fault. I got hungry. I go out looking for the Cracker Jack, and I've got a bag of that. Now, just like the general, I just heard him say, Cracker Jack comes in a box that doesn't come in a bag. I go looking for the gift inside. And I said, about three different stores, do you got the box? And they said, the box of what? And, you know, there are women that hang around some of these stores. She said, I got all the box you want. And I said, you know that I am a pastor of a religious congregation, and that what you're talking about, what you're looking at on the TV, Phil, is this white man. I don't, there's nothing wrong with that, you know.
What are you talking about?
You looking at hockey?
Yes.
All right, that's fine. I don't mind that. I'm not complaining about that. You got nothing but white people on the back of that thing. And
you know there's some black players in the NHL now?
What's this guy doing a spin move for? What is that? He looked like some kind of a girl. Look.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're talking about the hockey. He said this is the National Hockey League All-Star game.
Well, I don't care what it is. I want Phil and the Reverend to continue discussing what they were discussing.
Thank you, Mark. I am trying to keep these men from acting like complete boobs and half-ass and looking like chumps. Now, Reverend, you know I love you. I know you're doing it. You're going around looking for Cracker Jack in the middle of a gospel breakfast to make everyone look bad. It just brings everyone down. It cuts everyone down. It lowers all of us to the level of a slob.
What are you talking about, a slob?
I'm talking about the slob where you can't even stand there like a normal human being and enjoy the gospel breakfast without going down the slob level.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. I am not that kind of man. I went out looking for Cracker Jack.
Now that we know you went out looking for Cracker Jacks after you heard the Jiffy Pop song about Jesus, okay?
Well, again, Cracker Jacks comes in a box.
That's right. That's right. I'm not disagreeing with you. I tried to tell people that, but they wouldn't listen to me, so what do you want me to do?
Okay, I'm going to go now. Thank you very much.
Oh, come on, Phil.
I think we need to go. He needs to get a nap.
I'm going to get a nap. I don't even know.
Yeah, Reverend, you are flipping your lid, man. Flipping your lid.
Okay, man. God.
What was that about? Did you do that on purpose?
Did I do what? You're the one that brought him on the air.
You did, Margaret.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand that at all.
I think there's something other. You know, he's beginning to. You talk about a guy that needs a vacation. That guy had to take some time out of his fundraising activities and give himself a break because he started to lose it there, didn't he?
Yeah, he was losing it on account of Cracker Jack.
Who cares about Cracker Jacks? And whether it comes in a bag or comes in a box. I happen to be a very big caramel corn fan. Very big. Okay? What are you laughing at?
You said corn.
Come here.
Ow! You hit me!
No, I didn't.
He never touched you.
One of these days you think somebody's going to believe you, bud. It's called The Little Boy That Cried Wolf. You ever heard of it?
No.
Some kid that cried wolf. He said, the wolf's here, and the wolf was never there. And people would come running to try to rescue him.
Yeah. And then the last time, they didn't come, and a wolf ate him.
I thought you said you never heard of it.
I didn't think I did, but then when you told the story, I go, oh, yeah, I've heard this.
Okay, so thanks a lot, Reverend. I hope that things do work out for you very, very soon. Now, show news that we have certainly imparted to our backstage pass holders, and we will impart to our radio and listen live free and tune-in listeners. On the 15th of March, the Phil Henry Radio Show makes the final move exclusively to the web platform. We will no longer be on radio. We have done this consciously. We have planned on doing this since, I'd say probably beginning about 2 or 3 years ago, when we recognized that our last radio syndication experience was so...
Watch it, Phil.
No, I'm just going to say it was so disastrous... that we recognized right away the best place for this show to be would be on the World Wide Web, would be to have a digital platform. And that's what is happening on the 15th. So beginning on March 15th, and the other thing we're very excited about is that we're changing the start time for the show. It is moving from nights to mornings. The show is going to start at 9 a.m. on the Pacific Coast, 12 noon on the East Coast. So I say mornings out here on the West, a midday show. Out east, it will be a two-hour show, 90 minutes to 2 hours. It will be a daily podcast, so we air the show live, and then it will immediately be available as a podcast, say within an hour of the webcast ending. That begins on the 15th. We will be free and mobile on TuneIn. The show will be free and mobile on the Phil Henry Show website. And for the next 4 days, 5 days, the show will be available on iTunes, and then it goes behind the paywall and becomes a subscription-only podcast, and that's for our Backstage Pass listeners. So that all starts on the 15th.
Now, why don't you have some contest or some giveaway or some kind of...
Yeah, you gotta give something away.
Why don't we give you away, bud? There's an idea.
I like that.
I don't care. Give me away to a woman that's nude.
Yeah, give away to a lady that's got...
She's got big ones.
Oh, God, what a bozo. All right, so...
Well, how about it?
Yeah, how about it? Yeah, what do you mean, how about it? What is this? What, am I sitting here in a bar room all of a sudden playing shuffleboard? Yeah, we'll think about it, bud.
Shuffleboard?
Bar shuffleboard. All right, we are going to see you guys tomorrow night, same time, same mobile, baby, same mobile device. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. After the show, check out the website, and we will have a show log up for you, as we do each and every night. And tomorrow, of course, the podcast of this radio show available, and a show highlight available on SoundCloud and Sideshow. Well, I was rolling down.